Jim, you
Hey, listen, that barbed wire has caught my pants many times.
I'll tell you, when you talk about bluegrass, country music, Americana, rock and roll, the kitchen sink, whatever, Jim Lauderdale's done it, been there, done it better than anybody. And when we're talking about bluegrass right now, what do you see? You know, you worked with Ralph a long time ago, and you've been around the greats, but what do you see right now when you see that we're at this kind of crazy high water mark right now?
Where are we right now? Well, first of all, we're doomed. We're doomed. This, oh, in bluegrass. In bluegrass. I mean, it's been really interesting here, you know, at these panels, hearing about the early days that you saw. I mean, how much it's grown is unbelievable. And it seems like it's, I mean, it's just really taken off, you know. And I remember 20 years ago, there would be, you know, somebody like Luke Bulla or Casey Dreeson or someone say, oh, yeah, we met each other at competitions, you know, and we were just kids. And the Rishi family, who I get to work with a lot, you know, they grew up in a family bluegrass band. I first saw them at IBMA in Nashville several years ago. So, I mean, more and more of these kids, and, you know, thanks to Pete for doing camps and stuff like that.
And the first president of IBMA is, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, when I was a, yeah. When I was playing banjo back when I was 15 and started out, I got Pete's book, and then I would go to this festival in North Carolina called Camp Springs when I was in high school. And so I saw Country Cooking and Breakfast Special, and it was really so great to see these two really vital bands, and they were such nice folks and everything. But to make a long story interminable, getting back to your question about where is bluegrass, I mean, I think that it's, you know, it's like we, as musicians, you know, we start and we have dreams of certain things, but I think in a lot of ways, bluegrass music kind of keeps you honest because it's just about getting good, getting as good as you can, but not, there's kind of a different, I don't really know if there is a business model really in bluegrass, like in other things like country music or what rock music. You know, it used to be like, hey, you know, we gotta get a deal and, you know, get this or that, but it just seems like in bluegrass that it, the music, the level of skill is so great that you don't go into it with kind of some kind of contrived marketing thing to make it, you know what I mean, and then have a few hits or something like that, but it's just kind of how you grow and what you can create. And I think with you guys and you know, now Billy, like you were mentioning, it wasn't because it's just because of the musicianship. And that is, I think, what these audiences are relating to. And it's nice that younger and younger folks are enjoying and appreciating and supporting in droves this kind of music than different kinds of pop music or whatever is selling big these days. And now, you know, this music is kind of catching on because it's just good. It's just, well, undeniable.
Yeah, Bill Monroe always said, if you can play my music, you can play anything. And I really believe that. And Bill said that. And it's one of those things where when you look at it on the surface level, it's real. It's wood and string. It's wood and wire and a human being. And there's no gimmicks. There's nothing involved. And I think there's been a circle back to kind of the realness of what it means to see a performer. But then when you also look at where we're at, I mean, these crowds are enormous. And before, sometimes people would get pigeonholed and say, that's a bluegrass musician and that's a country musician. And sometimes they were either told by management or whatever, like, don't jump the fence, it's a career death. And but you are somebody that I've always had a lot of respect for, because you just followed the muse. You followed what felt good at that time. And now that is becoming more the norm than the exception. What do you think about that when you look at this shift where the artists are saying, I don't care, the fans that like me will follow me,
Yeah. And
hell or high water, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. What do you think about that?
I just think there aren't as many rules anymore of like having, like years ago when I put out a record and then people would tell me, they'd say, well, look, the reason why this last record didn't do great, like on a major label or something, they'd say, you're putting out too many records and people don't know who you are or whatever. And I'd just say, well, you know, it is a shame.
You got the last laugh, Jim. You're still a badass.
Yeah, look, hey, the man. Yeah. But I will say one thing. I mean, even though recently, sometimes I try to think of ways, I mean, still, with creating good music, but it's like, gosh, you know, maybe I'd better do something different to try to, you know, go to a different level. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna do it or not, but I was gonna change my name and do a different stage name. So I was gonna call myself Rumpelstiltskin Kerouac. But now I don't, you know, after being here this weekend, this was kind of more, this kind of, you know.
Well,
but anyway.